بالفعل. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا إن الله لمستعان. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Let me ask this question about muraqabah. That what is muraqabah? How should a person do muraqabah? And what is the correct and the most proper way of doing muraqabah? What are the feelings a person should get when they do muraqabah? What are the correct feelings which a person should get while doing muraqabah? So I thought that inshallah in today's majlis we will explain this concept more broadly, that what it means to do muraqabah and what are the different steps a person can take to perfect the muraqabah and reach that level which our mashayikh have called zikr-e qalbi, which is a state when the heart is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the heart is aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this word muraqabah actually comes from this word raqib, raqaba, ra, qaf and ba. And so those of you in Arabic, you know that most of Arabic words are derived from a triliteral root. The triliteral root here is ra, qaf and ba. And this word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is used in Quran also. That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raqib with the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raqib, i.e. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close, he is protective, he is vigilant over the believers. And there's another word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also used in Quran, which is mirsad, which comes in Surah Fajr. And mirsad is actually that it's a position. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So I was saying that a couple of you asked this question about muraqabah, that what it means to do muraqabah, what is the correct and the more proper way of doing muraqabah, and what a person should feel, what a person should feel in their muraqabah. So inshallah today's majlis will be devoted to answering such questions and detailing what muraqabah is and what are the steps a person can take to perfect their muraqabah. So, first of all, this word muraqabah comes from the triliteral Arabic root, which is ra, qaf, and ba. Most of you are taking Arabic, they know that most of Arabic words are derived from a triliteral root, and the triliteral root here is ra, qaf, and ba. And this is a word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also used in Quran, that inna allaha kana alaykum raqiba, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a raqib on the believers. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protective, is vigilant, is close, intimately close to the believers. And a similar word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is used in Surah Fajr to show this closeness, how intently and how vigilant Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is used there is mirsad. The mirsad, our mashayikh has explained, is actually that situation or that moment or that minute when, just imagine, you have a hunter. And the hunter, when he is hunting its prey, and that moment when he is about to pull the trigger, or the moment when he is about to throw the arrow, he has his intent gaze on its prey, and that intent gaze at the last minute, at the last moment when he pulls that trigger, that's this word mirsad. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to convey to us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intent gaze is upon us all the time, such an intent gaze. And another thing which you'll realize about this word muraqabah is that it is on the pattern of mufa'ala. And this is something which will come in later Arabic, that any word which comes on this pattern of mufa'ala, it means two-way. It's a two-way thing. It's a two-way action. It's a two-way interaction. So for instance, let me give you another word which is mudhakara. Now mudhakara means do tazkira, to talk or to have a discussion. But the very word discussion means that it has to be interactive, it has to be two-way conversation. So mudhakara is So likewise, muraqaba also means a two-way connection. And the lesson and the hikmat and the ishara here is that muraqaba means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always a keep to us, is always intently, vigilantly gazing upon us. So all we have to do is also to make this one-way reality into a two-way connection. Now, how can a person make this one-way reality into a two-way connection? Our mashayikh in Naqshband, they have given us four steps. They've given us and opened this path of muraqaba in four steps. That when and if a person can take these four steps, they can journey on this path of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using muraqaba. They can work on their qalb and make their qalb mazkur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, mazkur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and blessings. So there'll be four steps. And the number one step is that, first of all, a salik should try to build a habit in himself or herself of just sitting. So the first is to just to create a habit of sitting within ourselves. Because this body which we have, it's not manus with this position of zikr. The position of sitting in zikr and doing muraqabah doesn't come naturally to it. So initially a person has to force his body, a person has to force her body into just sitting. And we have noticed many times that for Western people, especially for people in America, for UK, when they hear about muraqaba for the first time, it's a very difficult concept to digest, that we have to sit on the ground physically. We have to sit on the physical ground for, let's say, 20, 30, 40 minutes, 1 hour. They say that, oh, we can maybe sit on the chair, we can maybe sit on the bed. It's difficult for our body, it's difficult for our limbs to sit on the ground. So it's difficult. And even for many Muslims in Indo-Pak, in the Middle East, and it's very difficult for them also to create this habit of sitting. Maybe they can sit on the ground for food for a few minutes. Maybe they can sit on the ground and talk for a few minutes. But to sit on the ground for remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the position of attahiyat or any other position, this is a big mujahida for them initially. Initially, my salik might sit and maybe he sits for 5 minutes and it seems like he's sitting for like 1 hour. It's very difficult that my leg is about to break, my vein is about to burst forth. There's immense dard hota hai. There's immense pain, intense pain. But we should always think that aaj tak kisi ki bhi rag nahi phati, na hi kisi ki baithne se taang tooti. These are feelings which a person has only because he hasn't been, only because he's not comfortable with the idea of muraqaba initially. Initially, what in fact happens is that when a person sits in a particular posture for a long time, then the veins actually, they try to create other alternative ways in which they can pump blood into that portion of our body. Initially, maybe perhaps for a few minutes, that portion of the body is not able to get the desired or the required amount of blood. But when a person makes this a habit, then he internalizes this process in muraqaba, then our body, our physical body is ajeeb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these alternative mechanisms whereby our ruh, our jism, they can create and recreate alternative ways and alternative pathways through which they can take that blood and pump that blood into that particular portion of our body. Initially, when a person feels some type of physical pain, it's very simply that it's just that portion of our body is not able to get the required amount of blood. And when a person makes this a habit, then inshallah, our body, our physical body can create these alternative pathways and becomes easy. They can sit in muraqaba for hours. Literally, they can sit. Our mashayikh used to sit in one position without moving any limbs, without even doing any harakat of their hands or feet. They used to sit in that particular position for hours and hours and hours. There's a big sheikh, very famous story for big sheikh, the Shaykhul Hadith Mulana Abdul Haq Rahimullah. He was a teacher of Bukhari Sharif. And he had so much respect for this hadith book, the Bukhari Sharif, that when he used to give the dars, he used to give the dars of Bukhari Sharif, a lesson for Bukhari Sharif, he never kept Bukhari Sharif on the table. Rather, he used to hold Bukhari Sharif in his own hand. And for those of you, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala gives the opportunity to study Bukhari Sharif, you'll know that this book is very, very weighty. It has a lot of weight. I think maybe more, 2 or 3, 4 kgs perhaps. It's a very difficult task to hold such a book in your hand for 2 hours, for 3 hours. That's how long the dars used to be. And these people used to keep it just because of the adab, the respect of giving the dars of Bukhari Sharif. And furthermore, it's written in the book that the Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Man Abdul Haq Rahmatullah Alayh used to sit in a position of at-tahiyyat while giving the dars of 3 hours. Allahu Akbar Kabeer. And nowadays, if you look at a talib ilm, they're just shifting their positions one way, the other, just fidgeting with their dupatta, fidgeting with the other things around them. They don't have that concentration, they don't have that level of focus when they're studying ilm or when they're doing their muraqabah or zikr. So we have to create this. First of all, this is the first step that we have to make in ourselves. We have to develop a habit of sitting. Now, when a person starts sitting, when a person has this habit, what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودَهُمْ, that their bodies become soft, that their bodies become delicate. There is a feeling of delicateness or softness or gentleness which they feel in their own physical body, جُلُودَهُمْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in the same ayah, وَقُلُوبَهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, and then their hearts become soft also. And the hearts turn towards the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And using this ayah, our mashayikh have explained the step. That first what happens is that the jalood, their bodies become soft and gentle and delicate, and then their hearts become soft and delicate and gentle and delicate. So it's the taleen of jalood, which is the gentleness of their body, which leads to the taleen of their kulub, which is the softness of their heart. And the softness of their heart leads that person towards the zikrullah, towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the process. So many times people ask this question that our hearts are hardened, our hearts are darkened. And the core reason for that is ghaflat. They don't have the zikr of Allah, which is a state of ghaflat. That is why Allah Ta'ala says in Quran also, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَدْ قُلُوبَهُمْ, that ghaflat, that heedlessness overcame them for a long period. فَطَالَ, for a tawil muddat, for a tawil period, for a long period of time, ghaflat overcame them. And فَقَسَدْ قُلُوبَهُمْ, because of that, their hearts became hard. Their hearts became dark. قَسَدْ. That's actually the state of our hearts today. That we have fatala alayhimul hamad, that we have led a life in ghaflat, because of which we are in a state of ghaflat. So in order to rectify this, we do muraqabah, and first the step is, we sit in muraqabah, and we have to make our body, first of all, aware of that feeling of softness, and that will inshallah lead to that feeling of softness in our kulub. So initially we might sit for 5 minutes, we can increase it to 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. The goal is really to increase it to 1 hour. The goal is to increase it to 1 hour. And shaitan is very ajeeb creature. He will try to bring all sorts of waswasa to you. That when you start, even once it becomes a habit that you have to sit in muraqabah, once you develop this habit, then another feeling will enter your mind. That you might feel that, oh, it's so difficult for my neck, then my neck is about to break. Because all the time your head is lowered. But it's just a waswasa of shaitan. We should just think and we should remember that if we want to make our qalb jari with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the first step, that we have to make ourselves accustomed to sitting in this position for long hours. Long hours. That's why Hazrat Ji used to tell many stories about his own students. There are many salikin, even today in this age, who even in their initial days of zikr, they never used to sleep, they never used to lie down and sleep. They never used to lie down and sleep. Whenever they had this tazkaza of sleep, whenever they wanted to sleep, they used to just go and do muraqabah. In that position of doing muraqabah, they used to sleep. So much so that one of our friends used to make fun of this, that you guys do your Naqshbandi sleep. And muraqabah is your Naqshbandi sleep. The meant actually was that you go in muraqabah and that's the way you complete your sleep. And actually, even if a person does that, even if a person sleeps, dozes off in their sleep, in their muraqabah, still that counts as muraqabah. Even though that person is sleeping, but still that counts as muraqabah. And why it's easy to understand this in today's age of technology and cell phones and charging. Because look, as in if you charge your cell phone, that even if the phone is turned off, phone is still charging. And if you turn the phone on, it's charging then also. So irrespective whether the phone is on or off, this phone is still charging. So just like that, if a person is in doing muraqabah is just like charging yourself, charging your battery by connecting it with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person's physical eyes are closed, if a person's physical eyes are open, it doesn't matter. If a person is sleeping or if a person is awake, it doesn't matter. The charging is still taking place. And when the people who are able to sit in muraqabah for such hours and hours, and they're able to get that feeling of zikr-e kalbi, then it's ajeeb kaifiyat for them. Ajeeb kaifiyat of such people. But these are really, I think we should always remember that a person will be able to get that ni'mat of zikr-e kalbi only through mihnat, only through mujahida. And that level of mujahida, where other people might perhaps say to you that this person has become majnoon, he is mad, he is crazy. People of the house, maybe your wife might say that this person is crazy, you're mad. Your husband might say you're mad, that pagal ho gaya, that he doesn't even sleep. But this is nothing new in our deen actually. Because if you look at the words of Hadith Mubarakah, Sayyidina Rasulullah mentioned that people used to say about Sayyidina Rasulullah that hatta yukala innahu majnun. The people used to call him majnun, Sayyidina Rasulullah. That is the level of zikr we should be doing. That level of zikr where other people are forced to call us as such a person as majnun. We have to work on this, we have to do mujahida. Hazrat Ji used to mention that, our own Sheikh used to mention this, that we haven't seen anyone in today's day and age has got this ni'mat of zikr-e kalbi by just doing minutes of muraqabah. It's not something which a person can get through minutes of muraqabah. Even if a child wants to pass his primary grade exam, then just sitting and studying for a few minutes, that's not enough. If a person just sits for a few minutes and studies and then at the end of the year he wants to pass that exam, he won't be able to pass it. It's impossible. If a child cannot pass his primary grade class by just sitting and studying for 10 minutes, then how can we think and imagine that we can pass this exam of the Walayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by just doing minutes of muraqabah every day? These minutes of muraqabah are only for the beginners. It's only for the beginners. Sometimes only for starters in fact. That just to make them manu, so that become accustomed and habitualize themselves to sitting in this position of doing muraqabah. We initially say that you do muraqabah for 15 minutes and 20 minutes. But if a person really wants to progress, if really wants to get this ni'mat of zikr-e kalbi, then they have to do hours of muraqabah. They have to sit in that position and do hours of muraqabah. And that's a dustur, that's a principle. And even in dunya we see this principle. That if a person wants to go and meet their officer, then that officer makes sure that that person waits for him. Sometimes a few minutes, sometimes a few hours, they're just sitting there in the waiting room. And if there's the president of the country whom you have to meet, then perhaps even months you have to wait and take an appointment. You should not think that if you have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Malikul Mulk, then obviously we have to do some intizar. We have to do some intizar. We have to sit and we have to sit in that position and just wait for this mercy for Allah subhanahu to descend into our heart. That person was able to do intizar in this dunya, then when he wakes up from his grave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at such a person with a smile. And if a person is not able to do intizar, if a person does not sit in dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in muraqabah in this world, then he'll have to do intizar on that day. That's the dustur. That's the dustur, that's the tarteeb of this dunya, that's also the tarteeb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to get the vassal, in order to get this ni'mat, you have to sit in muraqabah. You have to become serious. A person can maybe sit in muraqabah after tahajjud, a person can sit in muraqabah after isha. There's no particular time period, time frame where a person should sit, but they have to sit. They have to sit. The second step is that when a person starts sitting in muraqabah, then shaitan starts its show. Then shaitan starts to show its shaitaniyat. All types of shaitani khayalat, hayvani khayalat, shahwani khayalat, all such things, all such impermissible thoughts, every and anything which you've thought about will enter your mind at that time. And sometimes even those things which you don't generally think about in your world, generally those things which are deep inside of you, deep, hidden inside of you, those things come out. And people come, they become pareshan and then come and ask that, what's happening with me? These thoughts, I never even thought that I have these thoughts inside of me. And they're now coming out in their ugly thoughts when I'm doing muraqabah. In that end position, in that end time when I want to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm having all these thoughts of sin and of all these thoughts of ghaflat and all these thoughts which are completely stray and completely sinful. This actually, we should realize, this is a weapon of shaitan. This is a tool of shaitan, which shaitan uses to make a person mayus. That a person becomes sad and depressed, and he loses that focus, loses that jazba, that passion which he had for doing muraqabah. That, look, I'm doing muraqabah, and look what's happening to me. He becomes sad. That is why when a salik does muraqabah, when he lowers his head and sits in muraqabah, he should just keep sitting. No matter what happens, no matter what type of thoughts, no matter what sorts of khayalat he is having, he should keep sitting. She should keep sitting. And the way we should understand this is that all the ghaflat, all the thoughts of ghaflat, all the life which we have led till now, it's full of ghaflat. And those thoughts are there within us. And now when we do muraqabah, then all those thoughts, all the warm heat of those ghaflat, of those sinful thoughts will come out first of all. And only once this warmness of sin, once this warmness of ghusla, once this warmness of dunyavi khayalat come out, are sucked out of our heart, then only Allah Subhanahu's cool breeze of muhabba, cool breeze of His rahmah will enter into our heart. That's the way our dunya works also. That's the whole philosophy of having an exhaust fan. Did you place an exhaust fan that it sucks out the warm heat of the kitchen, in the kitchen? And once that warm heat sucked out, then obviously the temperature remains cool and mild and pleasant. So that's actually what happens in muraqabah. you should never be worried about these khayalat. Initially, when a person sits, maybe he'll get 100 khayalat of the dunya, 100 thoughts of the dunya. If he keeps sitting, does muraqabah, then maybe next day, those thoughts will lessen to maybe 99, then to 98, then to 80. This will keep decreasing, till a time then he'll get that, he'll be in that situation, he'll be in that position, in that kaifiyat, he'll be able to get the huzuri of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll get that focusness, he'll get that concentration, that tawajjuh. He'll get that kaifiyat of istighraq. This comes with practice, this comes with sitting, and just to let those thoughts come one way, and let them go the other way. Third step is that we should get the kaifiyat of doing, the practical way of doing muraqabah right. Many people do muraqabah, they're doing muraqabah, they're sitting in muraqabah, and they're fighting these shaitani khayalat also, but they don't have that correct way of doing, they don't do the muraqabah in the proper way. They don't have the correct orientation, or they don't have the correct concept of doing muraqabah. Some people do muraqabah by using their breath. They're thinking that our breath is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. This is actually not the correct way to do muraqabah. But if you use your breath, if you use your breath to say Allah, 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 person might be able to get some benefit, or might be able to feel something, but he won't be able to clean his heart with this. The heart will only be cleaned once dhikr is done according to the way of our mashayikh, according to the way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened on our mashayikh. And this was actually an ilhami tariqah. This is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ilham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing on our mashayikh that he opened this way. So only if we do muraqabah according to the way of our mashayikh, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done ilham upon them, then only will be able to clean and purify our heart. The way practically to do muraqabah is, number one, things which you not do in muraqabah. Number one, that this muraqabah is an exercise which has nothing to do with our breath. It has nothing to do with our saas, inhaling and exhaling. So this process of inhaling and exhaling should continue as it does normally throughout the day. Second, muraqabah has nothing to do with our physical body, with the harakat or the movement of a physical body, as if it's moving back and forth or it's a rocking movement. It has nothing to do with the physical body. We should be completely motionless, still, stationary. The physical body should be stationary. And third, muraqabah has nothing to do with our tongue. Our tongue should be just stationary, should be still. What in fact we're supposed to do is we're just supposed to make this niyat. We're not supposed to feel this perception that our heart, our qalb is saying Allah, 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 and I'm just listening to my heart saying Allah, Allah, Allah. Very similar to the exercise when you have a cassette or a tape. When you turn on the tape and the tape is saying Allah, 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 and you just listen to that tape. Likewise, just imagine that there is a tape in my heart which is saying Allah, 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 and I'm listening to this tape. So we have to sit in this carefully. And the fourth step is, then when a person fulfills all these sharait, when a person first of all sits in muraqabah, he makes this habit of sitting, she makes this habit of sitting, then she's able to fight those shaitani khayalat, shaitani and wasawis. And third, when she has this muraqabah, the tariqah of muraqabah correct, then what happens is finally that shaitan tries another hamla. Shaitan attacks that person using another method. And this is that instead of placing those shaitani khayalat, he tries to place khayalat of riya and khud pasandi in that person. Riya and khud pasandi means that shaitan tries to make that person feel that as if that he is doing such a big ibadah, such a big favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He feels happy on himself. This is riya. And this is what shaitan does, just make that person a mariz of this spiritual ailment of riya. Ostentation, or perhaps even just khud pasandi. Tries to maybe make that person see some khwab, tries to make that person see some naksha, have maybe some image or some color, and then the person just becomes completely entranced and enraptured by those images, by those visions, by those colors, by those lights. But look, I'm such a big wali, I'm such a big salika, I'm such a big alima, I'm such a big zakira, that when I do muraqabah, when I sit in muraqabah, I'm able to see such visions, I'm able to see such lights and colors and images. This actually is shaitani. This actually is, we should think, we should view this as a rukawat, as an obstacle in our way of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually an obstacle in our muraqabah. These khayalat, these images which we get. Once Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, the big mashayikh of Tazkiyah and Tasawwuf, was sitting and doing muraqabah, and while doing muraqabah he saw some light, immediately some apparent light came into his vision, and with that light was a voice, he heard a voice, that and the voice said that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, we are so happy with you that now whatever you want you can do, we will be razi with you. Whatever you want to do, you can do. We will be razi with you." So as soon as Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ramatullah heard this voice, he poured and recited, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a commandment in Quran, "Wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen." He knew this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should worship your Rabb, hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, until you reach your yaqeen, and until you reach the time of death, until moth overcomes you. The person has to do ibadah till that last minute when he has to depart this world. So he knew this ayah, and he knew that this voice, which this is actually a voice of shaitan. This can only be a voice of shaitan who is saying that, "Look, you have done so much ibadah, now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, you can do whatever you want." This can only be from shaitan. So when he said this, "La hawla wa la quwwata billah," the shaitan ran away. But before shaitan ran away, he did another hamla, another attack. And he said that while walking away, while departing, he said that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, you are such a big wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have tried to attack so many awliya before you, but they got trapped in this snare, in this attack of mine. But you, because of your ilm, you were able to save yourself." Once shaitan said this, that you, O Abdul Qadir, you were able to save yourself because of your ilm, Abdul Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah, he immediately recited again, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." And he addressed shaitan and said that, "O shaitan, know that this is not because of my ilm, this is only and only because of the fazl, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I was able to save myself." Now, we should look that this was actually the way our mashayikh used to do zikr. We used to be aware of these imtihanat while doing zikr. We used to be constantly so aware of themselves that lest any position, lest any hamla of shaitan should divert them away from the asal maqsood, from the asal goal, from the real goal, which is to get this feeling of Allah, Allah in their heart. That is why Hadiji and our own Sheikh also stresses this point, that the whole purpose of doing muraqabah is not to see any images, it's not to see any colors, it's not to have a good khwa, to have good dreams or good visions. Even if a person sees and has some good vision, he should just think that this is actually a rukawat, an obstacle in my path. And I have to just go beyond this. I have to go to what is the asal maqsood, what is the asal destination of my journey, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to divert my attention away from everything else towards Allah. Next, Mushaikh have also mentioned a few hakikat, the reality of this qalb, which does muraqabah. So the muraqabah is done by a heart. And this heart is actually not the physical heart of our body, it's actually the ruh of our physical heart, which is the spiritual heart, which is known in Quran by this term of qalb. When a person does muraqabah on their qalb, then we should remember that this awaz, often our mashayikh say that we'll hear this awaz, we'll hear this voice of Allah, Allah, Allah. So what they mean by that is not that when a person sits in muraqabah, then a siren will start to blare and we'll just listen to Allah, Allah, Allah. It's not like a siren. It's not like, in that sense, you won't be able to hear this Allah, Allah in that sense. Rather, there's more tafsil to this, that when a person, first of all, when a person sits in muraqabah, their tawajjuh is not on their physical heart, it's on their spiritual heart, which is the qalb. As by Hadith-e-Mubarak, it comes, when a person sins, there's a black spot which accumulates on the person's heart. When a person does neki, when a person does righteous actions, then there's a noor in that person's heart. When a doctor does operation in someone's heart, so that physical heart, you won't see any signs of blackness in the physical heart. So this shows actually that this, what this hadith refers to is not the physical, but the spiritual heart, which is the qalb. That is the asl where this zikr is supposed to be done. And this spiritual heart is within the shell of the physical heart, which is within the muzgha of the physical heart. And just like our physical heart is a thing of this dunya, just like this spiritual heart is a thing of the ruh, of the alami arwah. And the dalil of this is Hadith-e-Mubarakah, where Allah Subhanahu says that Baina isba'ina min asabi ar-Rahman yukallibuha kayfa yasha. That the heart of a person, the qalb of a person, is between the two fingers of Rahman. He turns that heart wherever he wants. So now no one can say that what's between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this physical heart. That's not possible. What this Hadith Mubarak actually means is that the asl dil, that the core of our heart, which is the qalb, that is something which is between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is something which is from the Alam-e-Amr. It's from the Alam-e-Amr, which is known as the qalb. Now when we know this, we should realize that when a salik does zikr on their qalb, then what happens is that this qalb starts to journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It starts its journey towards his asl. Because in another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kullu shayin yarju ila aslihi," that everything turns towards this asl, goes towards this asl. So our heart, this spiritual heart, which is our qalb, when a person does dhikr on that, this also turns and journeys towards this asl, which is towards the alam-e-arwah, towards the alam-e-amr. And our mashayikh explained this by analogy, that when you have a bird who is caged in a cage, and there are locks on that cage, then when a person unlocks the door of that cage, then that bird is able to fly and soar high. Just like that, there are locks on our heart. And when a person does muraqabah, they're able to unlock those locks on our heart, such that the ruh of our heart, which is the qalb, is able to start its journey, its spiritual journey, towards this asl, which is the alam-e-amr, which is towards Allah. And the result of this is, when this journey starts, now listen to this carefully, when the journey starts, a salik is able to feel some harakat in their physical heart also, in that portion where they're doing zikr. They feel some vibration, they feel some harakat. Why? Because actually, the ruh, the spiritual heart, is within the physical heart. So when the spiritual heart is making its journey, so there has to be some effect, some side effect on the physical heart also, because it's the shadow. Because it's the location where that is, where the spiritual art is. That is why we feel some harakat in our heart. And our mashayikh have mentioned and termed this harakat as taharruk. And there are actually two types of harakat of the heart. One is the harakat which is the pumping of the physical heart. And there's many times people confuse these two harakat. So very simply, there are two types of harakat of our heart. Number one is the physical pumping of our heart. And doctors might tell you that it's maybe like 60, the heart pumps 60 times in 1 minute or 70 times in 1 minute. That's the physical pumping. If I were live before you, I'll show you with my hand. It's just like the opening and the clenching of the fist. That's the pumping of the heart, which is the physical pumping. So that's different. There's another type of harkat which is referred to here as the taharuk, which is the real vibration which our mashayikh are mentioning. And this is actually much quicker, which is much quicker than the physical pumping of the heart. This is what we call the palpitation of the heart. It's like the vibration of the heart. And in 1 minute, it's much more. In 1 minute, it's more than 100 times sometimes. More than 100 times in 1 minute. The person is able to feel this palpitation of the heart, this subtle, intricate, this delicate palpitation of the heart. It's a very delicate, very latif harakat. If you want to understand this palpitation of the heart, very simply, when a person is sitting on the bus, you might have noticed that when someone sits on the bus, and the bus, while it's standing, it's not moving, but when the engine is turned on and the bus is standing still, there is certain vibration of the body of the bus. And you feel that vibration in your body also, in your physical body, as if your entire body is just palpitating, is just vibrating, just very delicate, subtle notion, subtle kaifiyat which you feel. That is the kaifiyat which a person feels in their muraqabah. When they start to do muraqabah, when they start this muraqabah, they feel this kaifiyat of taharruk. This is actually a big blessing of Allah Ta'ala, which a person should do shukr about. Before a person feels this taharruk, this blessing of taharruk, initially a person would also feel some pain, dard mehsoos hota. And sometimes salakeen are become parishan because this dard which they feel. Like if you think about the analogy which I gave you, then when the bird is coming out of that pinjara, when the bird is coming out of that cage, it feels that effect. And likewise, when a person's ruh will be taken out, the ultimate example, when a person's ruh will be extracted from their physical body at the time of death, then also there will be some dard, some physical pain. So here also, a choti si ruh, when this small ruh is also exiting that person, then thoda sa to dard hoga. That is why muraqabah mein baithne wale log ibtida mein will feel this dard. That's a good ilamat to have. The dil ka jo dard hota hai, it's very sweet. Person very easily they can withstand this also. Mardon ko bhi hota hai, auraton ko bhi hota hai, choton ko bhi hota hai, badon ko bhi hota. The only difference is that sometimes for some people it's a bit. Sometimes for some people unko zyada mehsoos hota hai, and for such some other people unko zara kam mehsoos hota hai. You've seen that some people sitting in muraqabah, so along with the heart, along with their physical, the physical pumping of their heart, they try to do Allah, Allah, Allah. We shouldn't do that also. We shouldn't match our Allah, Allah with the physical palpitation, with the physical pumping of the heart. What we should do is we should listen to Allah, Allah. We should listen to Allah, Allah. Our attention should be towards our heart, and our heart's attention should be towards Allah, Allah. As if our heart is saying Allah, Allah, and just listening to our heart reciting Allah, Allah, Allah. Initially a person might feel dard, then a person might feel sukoon, then a person might feel this feeling, this name, this blessing of taharruk. And sometimes when a person will feel this taharuk, it becomes so wazeh, becomes so clear and so perceptible that even outside of muraqabah, a person might feel that their heart is still that in that feeling of taharuk. We should always remember three words about this feeling. This feeling of taharuk is very latif. Latif means very subtle, it's very delicate, very gentle. It's also jameel, something very beautiful. It's also very laziz. It has a sweetness to it. It's like what you call in Urdu, gudgudi. Get that feeling of gudgudi. Now when a person feels this feeling of taharuk, the next stage is that this kaifiyat of taharuk with time converts and transforms into another kaifiyat, which is the kaifiyat of tazakkur, which is the kaifiyat of zikr. The first, initially, we feel this harkat in our heart. And then, in addition to this harkat, we have another perception, another idraq. And this idraq is as if our heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. This is an idraq of our heart. And salik, ka dil zikr kar raha hota hai, and phir dil usko sun raha hota hai. The person won't be able to listen with their zahiri kan, with their physical ears, but they'll be able to listen to it using their batini, using the inward idrak, inward perception. And not all of us will be able to feel, will be able to get that inward perception. This is something, once again, it's an atiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the person is leading a very pious life, very muttaqi, doing a lot of ihtiyat in their food, a lot of ihtiyat in what they eat, a lot of ihtiyat in their way of earning their livelihood, which is halal, staying away from all types and all sorts of internal and external sins, then if a person is on such a life of taqwa and parhezgari, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give such a person kash. And through that kash, through that internal basirat, then that person will be able to hear that dhikr of their heart, as if their heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And our mashayikh used to, they had discussion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them discussion. We used to hear this Allah, Allah, Allah from sometimes even from the other, not just from their own heart, but sometimes even from other things around them. Maybe the rocks used to say Allah, you look at rocks and they'll see that the rock is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. Or the leaves are saying Allah, Allah, Allah. This is there, this is part of our deen, this is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's big blessing on those people who are able to lead such pious, such pure, such sin-free life. So we should separate these two things, that the zikr, that the qalb doing zikr of Allah, Allah, Allah is one thing, and the person listening to this zikr, Allah, 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 is another thing. So sometimes many people are able to reach that situation, that play, that position, where the qalb is jari, the qalb is saying Allah, 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 but because of their own sins, because of their own life, maybe their earnings are not pure, maybe they're not doing so much ihtiyat in the food they're eating, they don't have that kash, or they don't have that internal firasat or basirat to be able to listen to that zikr. You can understand this very simply that in an airplane, when you're sitting on the airplane, there's an audio system. Now the audio system might be playing the tilawat of Quran. Now, if the tilawat is there, the tilawat of Quran Pak is going on, but only that person will be able to listen who plugs in his earplugs in that system. But yehi misal hai that the qalb is saying Allah, 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 but some of us might be able to hear it, and some of us might not be able to hear it. This is actually the meaning of our mashayikh term as qalb ka jari hona. It starts with harkat, it starts with taharuk, and then this taharuk gradually changes into another kaifiyat of tadhakkur, which is as if our heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And when a person gets this ni'mat, then Allahu Akbar Kabira. Then subah, sham, din, raat, har waqt a person feels that his heart is saying Allah, Allah. We might be sleeping, maybe our eyes might be closed, our eyes might be sleeping, but dil nahi sura. Our hearts are always awake. Our body is always awake, making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this continues for the entire life. Entire life. That is why Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about himself, يَتَّنَامُ أَيْنَايَ وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي, that my eyes sleep, but my heart doesn't sleep. The heart is always in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is mentioned in Hadith and Barakah by different names, as Zikr-e Kalbi, as Zikr-e Sirri, the different names as Zikr-e Khafi. But the objective and the real goal is just to be in that state where our heart is doing Tadakkur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. This is such a beautiful zikr that even the angels are not able to listen to it. Only either that person himself will be able to listen to it, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him that tawfiq, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will be able to listen to it. Listen to that zikr. No makhluk will be able to listen to this zikr. The person who is sitting next to her will also not be able to listen to it. It's only either the zakir will be able to listen, or that zat jiska zikr kiya ja raha hai, will listen. That's it. Now, sawal paida hota hai ki if even the angels will not be able to listen to it, then how will they be able to write this? Hadith Park mentions that when a person does zikr in their heart, then angels feel some fragrance emanating from that person. And what they write is just that this person is doing something, and we feel this fragrance emanating from that person's body. They write this fragrance in that book of deeds. And then on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask our Kiram and Katibin, that what have you written? And they'll say, Ya Allah, you just wrote down this fragrance which was emanating from them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, yes, these were those people who had a secret. And this is actually a secret between me and them only. They used to remember me in their hearts. And I, since this was a secret between me and them, then the reward will also be between me and them. I will take upon the responsibility of giving ajr and reward for that zikr. The kalbi zikr ka ajr qiyamat ke din, Allah Ta'ala khud ata farmayenge. This qiyamat hai. We should always ask and beg and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, make us such that our hearts also become alive in the zikr kalbi. The zikr kalbi. That is why our mashayikh, our salikin, we used to go and sit in the company of our mashayikh. Because sometimes we ourselves not able to make our hearts alive. We have to go and sit in the company of other people. We don't have that inner strength. We need some external power source. So that's why jab kehte shaykh ki sohbat shaykh, it's just like that external power source which can revive, which can enliven our dead hearts. Sometimes just because of the tawajjuhat of the shaykh, the tawajjuhat of the shaykh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the salik, the ni'mat, that their heart is able to start on this journey of Allah, Allah, Allah. We can get this zikr kalbi. Even though the salik might not know, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that ni'mat to them. Our own Dada Sheikh, Hazrat Murshid Alam Rahmatullah Alayh, the Sheikh of our own beloved Sheikh, Hazrat Zulfiqar Ahmad Naqshbandi Rahmatullah Barakatuh, used to say that the Kamil Sheikh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Kamil Sheikh such a rank, such a martaba, that even if a ghafil heart was presented before them, a ghafil heart of a ghafil salik was presented before them, and just by their fingers and reciting on their heart, Allah, 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 just by giving that tawajjuh on that person's heart, then because of that tawajjuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to make the zikr jari from that ghafil heart also. Allah. Another separate thing that the salik might not able to feel this, the salik might not even know this, There is a dalil, there is an alamat for this. The effect of this is when a person's heart becomes jari with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes attracted towards goodness. It becomes attracted towards the sharia. That person wants to become naik. That person wants to change his life. That person wants to keep a beard. That person wants to grow his beard. That person wants to recite long namaz. He notices this change in his life. And all of these things, all of these alamat, all of these things are actually signs that a person's heart is now shari. Now very quickly, to summarize the salik, all of us, we need to work on this latifah qalb. This is the first sabak of our silsila, this is the first lesson of our silsila, and this can be traversed very easily. Always remember that any book which you have to read, any sabak which you have to read, even in the dunya, the first lesson is always very easy. Koi kitab aisi nahi jiska pehla sabak mushkil hota. Pehla sabak hamesha asaan hota. That's the way we have structured our dunya. That's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has structured even our ruhaniyat, our spiritual course. The first lesson is very easy. Zikr-e Qalbi is the first lesson of our silsila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy. It's not difficult. We should always make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, we want this ni'mat. We should develop our talib within us. Ye na ho ki hum muraqabah kare and we bahar nikle, we have no control over our eyes. We're looking at billboards and advertisements and magazines. Our eyes are not in our control. Our eyes are not in our control, asraat khatam ho jate. Ek bad nazri mahino ki mehnat khatam kar dete. We should be very aware of how we use our gaze, how we use our tongue. We should not backbite, we should not say lie. We should do ihtiyat in what we eat, what we drink. And a person that leads such a careful life, such a goal-oriented life, when the goal is Zikr-e Qalbi, then only will the person be able to get this ni'mat of Zikr-e Qalbi. Whoever has been able to get this ni'mat, they had to make mujahid. They had to make that ni'mat. They had to mold themselves, their life, according to Sharia. And once a person gets to Qalbi Zikr, once a person gets it, then it becomes very easy for that person to progress in their other lessons, in their subsequent future lessons. They become very easy. Why? Because when a person does Zikr on their Qalb, then their Salik feels the Nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout. They're able to akhaz that Nur, they're able to capture that Nur into their heart. And just like don't we see in our dunya that when you build a house, and when you want electricity connection in that house, it's difficult to get that first electricity connection in that house. You want to light that first bulb in that house, it requires a lot of mujahida. You have to go to different agencies, make sure that you get that electricity connection, get that wire, get that socket, and then once you have that socket, you're able to light that first bulb. Then next, if you want to light other rooms in that same house, that's very easy. If you want to extend the light, the nur, into other portions, other corners of that house, it becomes very easy. Just like that, it's this first connection. If you can work on this, do mujahida, and place and fill our qalb with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah other lessons, where we'll be able to fill this nur in other portions of our body, other ruh, other sir, khafi, akhwa, all these places, all these lataif are mentioned in Quran, then inshallah become very easy to fill these parts also with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's muhabba, with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zikr. We should do lots of ihtimam, lots of mehnat and muraqabah, increase in our zikr, increase in the hours of zikr which we do. make dua may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to come amongst the true Zakireen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to feel and experience the right pleasure from this ni'mat of Dhikr al-Qalbi, become such people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, to get sana'iyat in this maqam of Dhikr al-Qalbi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this intention from us. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. Before we conclude, inshallah, just have a short silent dhikr of our heart. We just do practice of muraqabah. To close your eyes and bow your head. Detach yourself from everything else in this world. Attach yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make niyat that I have cutting myself from everything else in this world. I am focusing on my qalb, my spiritual heart. And I'm using my spiritual heart, my qalb, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. The name of my Rabb is Allah. So I'm making intention as if my heart, my qalb is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And I'm listening to this part, the zikr of Allah, Allah, Allah.
نرجع من تقبل منا منك أنت